Thank you to the worship team. Man, I got to tell you, I am just amazed. I'm amazed at our worship team, yes, but more at how God just coordinates everything, how God has been organizing things. We'll get into a little bit of that, but just the songs today, man, are right on point with what the Lord put on my heart to share. And I tell you, we didn't sit around a table at any point during the week and say, hey, what are you preaching on? Hey, what are you singing? We didn't coordinate that. But that's the Lord confirming. I think he's already been saying stuff to you in this place. He's already been saying things maybe to you online. Are you listening? If you're not listening, pay attention, because God wants to say something to you today. He's confirming a word that he has for you today. We're going to get into that. I'm excited about it. But before we do, I want to just give a shout out to our pastor. Amen. Pastor Vince and the pastoral family who are not here today. They were likely testing positive for COVID, so that's an unfortunate thing. Pray for them. He asked that he would get his taste back. It's difficult. You imagine, he had Thanksgiving dinner, you can't taste anything. I mean, isn't that like typical of what this thing does this year? It's like so typical, like it's taken away everything. But then you take away the taste. I mean, that's just like, what do we live for? Don't we live for food? What's life if you can't eat something and enjoy some food every once in a while? But so pray for Pastor and his family. Pray for a speedy recovery. Pray for others. I mean, it seems like in the last month, there have been a lot who have been just affected. It's hitting closer to home, is it not? Hitting closer to home where people, maybe you directly, you know somebody in your family, maybe somebody, a friend or a coworker, but it's hitting home, right? And and a lot of you early on have dealt with this. The rest of us have kind of been, you know, free from immediate impact, but pray for those affected by it. Pray for those affected by it. Amen. We're glad you're here today. Right? Some of you are here today, and another shout out to Pastor who from the very beginning of this thing, man, he would preach to an empty room. I don't know if I could do that. Just preach to an empty room, speak to an empty room. I mean, it's hard. There's a handful of us here today, and it's a little challenging, but at least I got some feedback. I have some faces I can look at. I can't really see smiles, but I can see squints, and that's okay. But shout out to him. I mean, he's given me the opportunity today to share the word. But week after week, this man seeks the Lord. And week after week, he's been bringing messages that the Lord, I believe the Lord has been putting on his heart. And if you're not paying attention, listen. If you missed him, go back, listen. Listen, the Lord is doing some things. If you've been paying attention, the messages that pastors have been bringing, I appreciate it because he asked me to fill in today. Is about a month and a half ago. So it wasn't like last minute, just so you know. And I have been thinking about, you know, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And some of the messages that he's been bringing, I kind of feel like he's been stealing my thunder a little bit. So I'm like, Pastor, you can't preach that. That's mine. But I tell you what, God has been setting things up. You know, he preached a message on It Is Written, right? Talking about the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. He talked about the altar, right, and putting the altar at the center, putting Jesus at the center of everything, right, and restoring that. And he talked last week about straight out of context, how we take scriptures that we like, ones that may fit on a coffee mug or they go nice on a t-shirt. You know, those are our favorite scriptures, and that's the one that we cling to, but we don't pay attention to the context of the scripture, right? And how did anybody do the context challenge this week? You can do it again this week. You don't have to stop doing it, but if you haven't done it, do the context challenge. If you don't know what that is, listen to last week's message. But those messages I have been setting up, I think, today, because today I want to talk something that the Lord's been teaching me. The Lord's been teaching me as in recent weeks, and he's been really shaping my view of some things and kind of encouraging me about what to do in tough times. And what I want to share with you today, I hope will encourage you. I hope it will bring some comfort to you. I hope it will remind you of God's promises to us through some of these tough times. You know, especially with all that's been going on globally, across the world, of course, through this pandemic, nationally, with, you know, we talk about them all the time. We get tired of hearing about it. But all the stuff that's going on, it's upsetting, right? I mean, the best word I could use to describe it, it's upsetting. Everything is just upset. It's like the boat is being rocked. Everything you used to be able to do, you can't do anymore. It's just everything is different. You got to relearn. Everything is weak to weak. Can I do this? I don't know. Can I go there? I don't know. Or am I going to school next week? Am I going to work? Am I going to have a job? I don't know. Right? It's upsetting with all these things that are happening. And some of us personally, we've dealt with sicknesses in the family and even loss. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. If you celebrated at all, I hope you at least had some food and were thankful. That's what Thanksgiving is about. But, you know, certainly for us, it wasn't the big family coming over and long table with a bunch of people. And it wasn't that kind of experience this year. But I know some of us maybe had an empty seat at the table this year. And our heart goes out to you. And that's hard. That's hard to lose somebody. So it's what do we do with that, right? And so to the people of God, that's who I want to talk to today. And in this room, I see all of you are the people of God. I don't know who's watching online. If you're people of God, praise the Lord. If you're not part of the people of God, it's not too late. You can join. You can come on board. Join the family of God. You can be the people of God, and you can experience the blessings that we're going to be talking about. But the summary, if I can sum up what I want to say today. So if we lose connection, if you fall asleep, if something happens or you got to take a phone call or whatever, the path that you're on may not be the one that you've chosen. But if Jesus is leading, keep following. And to steal something from, I didn't make this up, you've probably heard it before, but I'm going to steal it because it fits. If God brought you through to it, he will bring you through it. All right, the path that you're on may not be the one you've chosen, but if Jesus is leading you there, just keep following. Because if he brought you to it, then he'll bring you through it. Amen. The title for today's message is Trust the Process. Let's pray, amen. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for your leading and your guiding of us, Lord. We right now want to just calm our spirits, Lord. We ask, God, that you would just continue to speak to us. Lord, you've already begun speaking to our hearts and to our spirits. And Lord, right now, that you would just continue to do what you want to do in our hearts, Lord, that you would allow me, Father, to be your voice right now, Lord, that everything that is not of you would just be thrown by the wayside, and that the message that you want us to hear today would be spoken and that it would be heard by our spirits. And we thank you, God, for your great care for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Trust the process. All right, in Philly, that means something, right? We think Sixers, don't we? Well, I'm not talking about Sixers today. We're talking about something different. I actually could call this Trust the Shepherd, but that doesn't really, nobody's going to click on that and watch that video, right? So trust the process is what we want to talk about today. And, you know, here, I don't know if there's a list of worst gifts for 2020, but I probably will bet the top of the list is a daily planner, right? A daily planner, right? Because everything's canceled. Everything's canceled. It's like almost like when February 29th hit, it's a leap year, by the way, you remember? It's like February 29th, we went into some wormhole and then we haven't gotten out of it yet. So maybe we'll come out sometime soon, but it's like everything's canceled, right? First, it started with March Madness. I know March Madness, and then Easter was canceled, and then school was canceled. You couldn't go to college or online school, and then Major League Baseball, and then graduations, and canceled. And then folks, I mean, are losing jobs over this, right? And birthday parties. Now, if anyone had a birthday between March and the end of the year, I think everyone gets a redo next year, right? A redo next year, especially if it was a big one, like a 30. Or 50, whatever, you get a redo next year. Because this year's canceled. And I think, you know, Brother Tony said, I don't know if he was just lucky guess or if he was speaking prophetically back in March. He said, 2020 is canceled. Just don't worry about it. Don't even try to plan anything. It's canceled. And Tony, you're right on. But it feels that way. It's almost kind of like, you remember that game? There was a game where you kind of spin on a bat around a bunch of times, and then you stand up and you try to walk in a straight line. That's kind of what this year is like, isn't it? Like, we just kind of, things are just happening, and then we get up and we're trying to go straight. We don't know which way to go. People are telling us, go here, go there. We don't know who to listen to, and we're trying to figure out which way is up. That's kind of what this year feels like, does it not? And like who? And so who do you listen to? Who do you know? Where do you go to get truth of anything anymore? Right? I mean, it's a struggle right now. You say, well, trust the science. Well, what does the science say? It's not the same thing, right? You get different stories about things. You trust the media? Well, what's the media telling you? Please do not trust the media. It's just hype and hysteria. Do you trust the politicians? Maybe you do, I don't know. Do you trust your favorite influencer on social media? Now, we all have one, right? We all have a favorite. We subscribe to whatever. Or you like, I mean, Jack Sparrow. You know Jack Sparrow? Jack Sparrow, he had this compass. If you don't know this compass, what's a compass supposed to do? It's supposed to point north, right? Well, his compass didn't point north. His compass always pointed to whatever he wanted most in his heart. So there's this scene where it's the end of something. He's sitting in a boat and he's wanting to go straight. His boat is pointing straight and he pulls out the compass and the compass points behind him. And he's confused because he wants to go, but he turns around and there's a bottle of rum. And of course he goes, oh yeah. And then he gets the rum. And then the compass points forward. Right? So do we have compasses like Jack Sparrow that just kind of point to whatever we want in our heart? Right? Are you following your heart? Don't follow your heart. The heart's wicked above all things. It's deceitful above everything. Don't follow your heart. You can't follow that. So what do we follow? Who do we trust? Right? So as the people of God, the good news is that we have some truth. We have a bigger truth. We have a greater truth that we can follow. And I want to teach or speak to you today from a popular scripture, probably one of the most popular scriptures next to John 3:16. Some of you may have a plaque in your house that has this portion of scripture on it. If you grew up Catholic, you probably had to memorize this portion of scripture. It's familiar, but I think it hits a little different in 2020. And it's Psalm 23. This is one that the Lord brought me to the night before. Many of you know my wife had major back surgery, and the Lord brought me to this scripture the night before, in particular, the verse that I want to focus on today. In Psalm 23, it talks about the valley of the shadow of death, you know? The darkest valley. And the night before we were about to go into major surgery, the Lord put this scripture on my heart. And I tell you what, he's kept me. She's doing great. It was a month ago, and he's brought us through the valley. And so praise the Lord for that. But I want to share with you something that God has been speaking to me through this. Amen. Psalm 23. So let's read it. And if you want to stand for the reading of the word. Amen. Amen. The Lord, can you hear me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You can be seated. So a little background on this scripture. This psalm was written by David. This is King David, but he was also, before he was king, he was a shepherd, right? So he was a shepherd boy. He knew some things about being a shepherd. But this psalm wasn't written when he was a boy. This psalm was written later in life. It's written after he had been a shepherd, after he had fought Goliath, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, after he had been king for a while. It's after he had experienced the faithfulness of God through a lot of different seasons in his life. And this psalm is kind of like a summary of he had been a shepherd, and he knew, now he's thinking, hey, wait a minute, I was a shepherd. I know what God is like, my shepherd. So now he's like, I'm a sheep, and this is, he's recounting like the relationship between himself and God and likening it to the shepherd and the sheep. And he's, that's what he's summarizing in this. And in this verse, in these six verses, we see there's a bunch of names of God that are represented. Remember, this is a summary. God has, David has gone through a lot in life and realized that God is, before he says Jehovah Rohi, which is the Lord is my shepherd, you know, I have everything I want. That's Jehovah Jireh. He knows a God that provides, the God that will provide. That's Jehovah Jireh, right? That's in verse 1. And then he leads me beside still waters. He knows Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. God is our peace. And that's what God does for us. And in verse 3, he restores my soul. That's Jehovah Rapha. That's the God who heals. The God is our healer. In Jehovah Sekenu, where he leads us in path of righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Sekenu. And then in verse 4, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. That's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. I'm not afraid because the Lord is there. God's presence is with us. And then in verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's Jehovah Nisi. That's the Lord is our banner. So in the time of the battle, this is where the armies they run to. They gather under the banner of the Lord, right? This is the refuge in the time of battle. So these are what David has realized in his life through the different seasons. He summed up in this chapter of Psalm 23. It's not just a cute little poem. It's not just something that looks nice on a plaque. This is something that has depth of meaning. This is written by someone who knows God. There's a lot of accomplishments David had, but the one that he's remembered for, you may know Goliath, you may know Bathsheba, but the Lord remembers him as a man after God's own heart. That's how God referred to him. You read that in Acts chapter 13. David was after God's own heart, and he knew something about the Lord, and now he's reflecting on the goodness of God throughout his seasons, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd, and I'm a sheep. And I'm going to trust the shepherd because, and then he goes on and on. And it's personal, right? He just doesn't say, God, the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord says, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm following him. We are not just sheep. My pastor preached a message a few weeks back, sheep or goats, right? We're all sheep. You want to be sheep, right? You don't want to be goats. Trust me, you don't want to be goat. We want to be sheep, but we're not just a sheep. We don't just have a shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, and he provides all that we need. And so and then before, like in between verse, this part that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and in the end that says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? That's nice. Lord's my shepherd, I have everything I want. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's current now, and it's where I'm going, right? But in between, what we're looking at here is different seasons that a sheep would go through. And this is what David is trying to get us to understand. And our focus is going to be today, we're going to spend some time in the valley. We're going to talk a little about the other ones. We're going to spend some time in the valley. And the journey goes from pasture to paths to dark valleys to behind enemy lines. And if the sheep had it their way, if the sheep had anything to say about this, they would probably skip the valley, right? They'd skip the dark place and scary place. They'd probably skip, well, we don't need to go behind enemy. We don't need to go into enemy territory. Let's just skip that. Let's just go from the green pastures. This is nice. This is the life. This is sheep spa. We'll stay here and then take us to the house of the Lord, right? Let's just do that. Is there a direct route? Can we just go there directly, right? And if Like, I think, and many of us have GPS, right? How many of you use GPS? When I put in my GPS to go from here to Boston, one of the most annoying things, it always has me going over the George Washington Bridge. Always. There's nothing I can do to skip the George Washington Bridge. I can't say skip the bridge. I try to do something, but I cannot get around that. The only way I can get around that is if I put another point. If I say, well, I want to go up here as another stop, then it takes me there and then goes around, right? So in a lot of your GPSs, you have the option to skip tolls, right? You can skip highways. You can skip construction. You can skip accidents, whatever. And if the sheep had it their way, they would say, skip the valley, skip the enemy, right? And if we had it our way in life, let's be honest, we would say, I'm here now, I believe God is my shepherd, I want to get to heaven, but can I skip the pain? Can I skip the suffering? Can I skip those extra stops? I don't want to have any extra stop. I just want to go from here to there. Can I skip the hard times? But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works, because there's a path that God has that is perfect for each one of us. And it may not be the path that you would choose, but it's the path that the shepherd chooses for you. And when you put in the destination, when he puts in the destination, and you follow that, and my GPS does some crazy things sometimes, but when you follow the Lord, it's amazing where he'll take you in places you will never imagine. You would never have thought to go here, but he takes you there. And it always gets you to the spot. And you go a different direction. You're like, well, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go over here. We just did a study on Jonah, who did exactly that, right? Jonah said, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go over here. When God said, recalculating. And he'll do that for you. That's the grace of God that will correct you. You step to the right, you step to the left. The voice behind you will say, go here. This is the way, walk in it. And that's the grace of God that will correct you. So you don't have to be afraid of making a mistake, because we all make mistakes. But if you're trusting and listening to the voice of the Lord, he'll correct you. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says this. It says that, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, I think of this verse every time I open that app, Waze. And I say, Waze, take me here, and it takes me somewhere I would never plan on. And I go, well, that's Waze, it's not my Waze. But it gets me there, right? And God's ways are perfect. They're different. He thinks differently than you. So we get used to it. You got to get used to it, right? The shepherd knows better. The shepherd knows that, okay, the sheep, they can hang out. It's good in the green pastures, right? It's good to be there. The sheep need green pastures. They need to eat grass. They need to have still water. They need to be able to rest and relax, free from fear, free from friction. They need to be able to rest and relax. Sheep need that, and God knows that, and that verse is in there. The Lord leads us beside quiet waters. There's a time for that. But the shepherd knows that the sheep can't stay there. It's not all about just resting and relaxing. That's not what life is about. I'm glad it's not, actually. I'm glad it's not. Well, how boring would that be? Maybe retirement could be that, but the shepherd knows, look, the grass dries up, the rains stop, seasons change. We're not going to be able to eat here forever. We have to move to a different pasture. And to move to a different pasture, you got to go down some paths now. Okay? And so in verse 3, it says, the Lord leads me. But before he leads, he makes sure that their strength is renewed. You see that in verse 3? He renews my strength. And then he leads me. So before he gets up and says, let's go on a trip, he makes sure that you're strong for the trip. Right? And then he takes you down a path that he's planned. And so this is the shepherd, his wisdom in that and his care for us. And he doesn't say, all right, we're going to there. You sheep go and I'll catch up with you. He leads us. The shepherd leads. He goes out in front of us. That's what a good shepherd does. When you're saved, he didn't say, all right, you're saved now. I'll see you in heaven. I'll meet you at the finish line. Now figure things out here on earth on your own. What would that be? That's insane, right? No, he said, look, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. And we sung about it today, the Holy Spirit, right? Thank you, Vanessa, for your words about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives, right? We're here. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of everything. And we're between, we're not there yet, but God has given us his Holy Spirit. And he's leading us. He's going before us, saying, this is the way, walk in this. And so he leads us on these paths. And then we come to the valley. All right, and this is where I want to hang out a little bit today, because this is where I think we need to be encouraged. Because in a lot of ways, I feel like 2020 is just one big valley of the shadow of death, isn't it? It's like fears about this and fears about that, and everyone's afraid to go out of the house, and it just feels like, wow, what do? We're paralyzed out of fear. And I want you to know that you don't need to be fearful. And I'm not telling you to be careless. I'm not saying that what's going on in the world isn't going on in the world. I'm not denying reality. But I'm telling you that in the valley of the shadow of death, there is some hope that we can have on. And you know what? It's perfect, because this morning we had a struggle. You guys didn't realize this, but online, we had no video. We had audio coming through, but we had no video. So there was worship coming through, but it was just a black screen. Perfect. When it's total darkness, can you still worship? Huh? How many of you tuned out because you couldn't see anything? How many of you, when you're walking through life and it's pitch black, when you can't hear God and you give up? But there's hope in the darkness. There's hope in the valley of darkness. So I want to talk about this here today. So the King James Version says the shadow of death. For this, us urban sheep, I guess maybe we'll say the darkest alley instead of the darkest valley. But it can be, you know, associated with any tough time, right? The dark valley, going through some tough times, the dark valley. But it actually was a place. And David actually was a shepherd. He knew, the reason he came up with this thing is because he knew there were times he would actually have to go through these valleys with his sheep. He would have to lead his sheep through these dark valleys. And there's a place, this may or may not be the actual place that David's referring to. There's a place in Jerusalem. There's a road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It's about 20 miles long. It's called the Wadi Kelt. And it's a ravine. It's all windy, and there's cracks and there's crevices. I think we have a picture of it. But there's cracks and crevices. And it was traveled a lot by people to go between Jerusalem and Jericho. Jesus traveled that road quite a bit. This is probably the backdrop for his parable about the Good Samaritan. Because there was lots of places for robbers to hang out. There's lots of places for animals to hang out. There's shadows, there's crevices. When it gets dark, it's dark. It gets up to about 104 degrees in the summertime. It's hot, and it's dangerous, and it's scary, and it's really scary. You know, the valley is not just imaginary. You know, we're going through some stuff, and it's not just in your mind. Some of it may be in your mind, but it's based on things that are actually happening, right? And so the valley is really scary. But what do we do, right? So we take, our mind plays tricks on us sometimes, right? We take things that we know to be real, and then it becomes something else. We see a shadow lurking over here, and we think it's the boogeyman. You know, kids do this a lot. Right? And think, well, there's a noise. Oh, it must be a ghost or some animal in my closet or under my bed. How many of you do that now still? You hear some noise and you're like, what is that? I don't know. It's just, we in the wintertime at our house, when it gets really, really cold, our deck, I mean, it's got to be really cold for this, but our deck, it's wood, a wooden deck. And the wood would just crack. It would just like pop. And it sounds like trees breaking. It sounds like there's trees that are falling in the yard, like, and they're going to hit the house. And so we hear these noises. And the first time, we're like, well, what is that noise? And we think the worst. And then we realize what it was. I'm like, oh, just the woods. So now we know better. But this valley that we mentioned right there was, may or may not be the one David was referring to, but it's something like that, Okay, so when he's talking about these dark crevices, dark valleys, there were real threats in that. And the sheep had to walk through it. Now, sheep are something, right? Sheep. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert on sheep. I've never owned a sheep. I think I pet a sheep in first grade years and years ago. But I'm not an expert on sheep. But I know when you think of sheep, right, you think of like they're soft and cuddly and they're cute, right? And they're not like real, you know, everybody ever feel threatened by a sheep? No. I mean, they're not scary animals, right? And they can't defend themselves. And they have short feet, and so they can't really, they have a hard time climbing, and they need a lot of help in these scary places. They can do great on level ground. They're not off-road vehicles so much, right? Goats are off-road vehicles, off-road animals. But sheep are more, you know, they need help. And so they need a little guidance coming through this. And I know as we're going through, and I'm speaking to you as one sheep to another, I recognize as we're going through this valley together, we're experiencing it differently. I understand that. Sheep are not all the same. We're not all the same. And my fears are not your fears. Your fears are not my fears. I may be a little older. I've experienced something, and I'm not worried about cracks on my deck. The first time my kids hear it, they're terrified, right? And so we're all experiencing this differently. But the one thing in common, and this is where it says, I will not fear. Why? Because you are with me. Now, parents know this. Anybody who's a parent, you know what it's like when your kid is afraid, and just your presence, how it could calm them. They run into your room because they had a bad dream. They come into your bed because you can't do anything about their dream. You don't even know what they dreamt about, right? But you hold them close. And somehow, that calms them. And it's the same way with God, right? We're going through stuff and we're not afraid because God is with us. And we look, the sheep, they know the shepherd. The sheep are walking through this craziness, through the cracks, over the rocks, through the water. Oh, there's another shadow. Oh, there's another animal. Oh, there's a threat of a wolf coming out. But then they look and they see the shepherd. Okay, the shepherd's still here. I'm good. If the shepherd's out of sight, then it's, whoa, now there's trouble. As soon as a sheep goes out of sight of the shepherd, they're lost. They don't know what to do. They're lost. But the shepherd will come get him, right? Amen? The shepherd goes after that one. But Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there in the valley. The Lord is here in this place right here. The Lord is there in your pain. The Lord is there in your suffering. The Lord is there in your job when you lose your job. The Lord is there. And when you look to him, you have no reason to be afraid. You know, Psalm 46:1 says that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Very present. Not just there, but he's very present in the time of trouble. Like when you have a problem, he's going to show up. He's there. He cares about his sheep. And we need the shepherd. And so that's the one thing, the presence of the Lord. Just knowing that he's there, you can take great comfort in that. But there's more. There's more than just his presence. It's his rod and his staff. Those are two things that may not mean much to you. As urban folk, we don't get it, right? We don't understand anything about shepherding. We don't understand about rods and staffs. We don't understand this. So I'm going to break it down for you a little bit so maybe you can understand. So the rod was used by the shepherd to fight off threats. So when there'd be an animal that came by, like a wolf or something, he would use the rod to fight off whatever was threatening the sheep. The staff he would use to care for the sheep, to pull them off as they would get too close to the ledge or they would get trapped in a gully, he would be able to pull them out. So the rod was a defense and the staff was caring for. The rod represented the authority of the shepherd and the staff represented the care of the shepherd that he had for the sheep. The authority and the care. And I tell you what, when I get troubled, when I think about how crazy this world is getting, how crazy things are spinning out of control, when people are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, like the sky is falling, I take great comfort in knowing that God is still sovereign, that his authority, he's still on the throne, he's still in control, and that he cares for me. Not that just he's in charge. I mean, that's great. But what about me? He cares. He's in charge, and he cares for you. It's his authority and his care. The rod and the staff also represent the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Though the word of God, again, with the authority, right? So what are you basing your decisions on? What are you setting as truth? What is the ultimate authority in your life? God, but his word, right? And the Holy Spirit, which reminds us of things that we heard in the Word. It reminds us of things that we've been taught. It teaches us, it reveals to us the Word of God, the truth in the Scriptures. The Word of God, and this is where I love the pastors have been preaching on this in recent weeks. The Word of God is so important. You know, sometimes when we celebrate, well, maybe we don't celebrate, but in this country, isn't it amazing that we have incredible access to the Word of God on our devices? Everybody has, I don't know, how many different versions you can pull up on your phone at any moment. But how biblically illiterate is this world right now? The irony of it all. It's kind of like we have all the social media, but we're so antisocial. How does that even work? I don't know. But we take, like, we don't memorize Scripture because we know we can just look it up anytime. Am I right? I mean, there's this feeling like, well, I can just search Google to find this scripture verse. And I do, and it's amazing. I use it all the time to find a verse. But you gotta memorize scripture, you gotta read scripture, because sometimes in the valley, you lose a signal. Sometimes in the valley, you can't hear God's voice. Sometimes in the valley, you lose the connection and you feel like, wait a minute, he's not there because I can't hear him. And you have to download that scripture for offline use is what I'm trying to tell you. You got to write that word on your heart. Write the word on your heart so you won't sin against him. And when it's written on your heart, what happens is the Holy Spirit will remind you, even when you can't hear his voice, the Holy Spirit will remind you, wait, God is still faithful. God, and he'll bring out just the scripture at the right time, whatever it is for you, what you need to hear at that time, that's what the Holy Spirit will do to you. But if you're not studying the word, if you're not writing it on your heart, then you're dependent on trying to find a signal in the valley and like, oh God, where are you? Where are you? So it's up to us as sheep, we have to memorize the word. And it's not just, so the rod and the staff, they comfort us, right? Comfort is good, but God is not, He's concerned with your comfort. He wants you to be comforted. He wants you to be not fearful, okay? But he also wants you to be empowered. So the Word of God and the Holy Spirit don't just comfort, but they empower you. And they build your character. And through that process, there's things that happen. There's things that happen in the process of you becoming dependent on the Lord. When you know that you can't do this on your own, when you're struggling in the valley, when you have to cry out to the shepherd, God, help me. God, help me with this. What's your word? I need a comfort word. The word of God becomes more real to you. I'm half a century old. I know I look young. I know I look great for my age. Thank you. But in all my years on earth, I have never understood, never noticed the rod and staff in this verse before. It was just, hey, the shepherd's there, he's comforting me, he's got some things, he does his thing, he's comforting me, right? But now, as I'm studying this a little bit more and preparing for this, and God's revealing, as God brought me to this verse the night before surgery, I said, okay, I'm not afraid, but why am I not afraid? And he started to unpack and started to reveal some things for me. And as you go through some trouble, as you go through tough times in life, the word of God becomes more real to you. It comes off the page and you're like, wait a minute, I got to hold on to that. And I know what this scripture means now because I was holding on to that for dear life. That's what happens in this process. And you know what? Throughout all of that, it's good. God has good in mind for us, right? It's the care that the shepherd has for us. And he lets us go through this tough time. This sounds weird, but it's because it's for your good. You know, how many of you, when you were growing up, your parents said, eat your vegetables. And what reason did they give you? They said, eat your vegetables because it's good for you. So it wasn't just my parents, right? It was your parents too. Eat them because they're good for you. And you know what? Somehow that was good enough. That was a good enough reason. We do it because it's good for us. And we accepted that. Or maybe we hid the vegetables and fed them to the dog or something. But that was the reason. Your parents knew, I'm asking you to do this because it's good for you. And we know as we get older that things that are good for us are not necessarily enjoyable, right? We know the vegetables are good. They don't always taste good. We know that it's good to exercise. We don't feel like exercising, right? We know that correction is good, but we don't want to be corrected. Kindness is good, but we don't want to be kind sometimes. We just want to be mean. Being responsible is good, but we'd rather just be, you know, kids and be irresponsible, right? But these are all good things, and the Lord is wanting to do good in your life. Sometimes it's not enjoyable, but it's still good. And you got to trust that as he's bringing you through this, with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, that will dispel some of the fear. I hope that will dispel some of the fear. That's what I want to encourage you with. And I want to encourage you too that this path, the valley, is not the destination. It's not the final stop on the journey. The valley is just a transition. The reason you go through the valley is just because it's a path to get to the higher ground. It's a path to get to the next field. It's a path to go to the next season of what God wants to do in your life. Now, how long does that journey take? I don't know. You know, for the Israelites, they left Egypt and they didn't trust the Lord. They didn't trust a shepherd. It took them 40 years as a result because they didn't trust. Think about that for a minute. So how long do you want to spend in the valley? I'd like to get out as quick as I can. I mean, it's fun. I like learning things about God's word, but you know, can we move on? Can we get to what's next? It's not the path that we would have chosen, but it's a path God has us on. I like last week when Pastor talked about, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago. It was last week, Jeremiah 29:11, right? 29:10, in that whole chapter 29 talks about, yeah, God has plans for us, but settle down. You're going to be here a while. 70 years, you're going to be here a while. Make yourself comfortable. Pray for the city you're in. You know, we may be in this valley for who knows how long. You know, when it started, this whole crisis started in March, everyone's like, hey, yeah, 6 weeks. We can deal with this 6 weeks. Here we are 9 months later. Still going through it. Second wave, who knows when it's going to end. We're still wearing masks. This may never end, right? So that, if I think about that too much, it makes me go to a not good place. I start to get annoyed. I start to get angry. I start to get rebellious. I'm like, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to do this. This is not going to be my life. I want to talk to people face to face and see their mouths. I want to be able to see people and talk to them without a mask on. And I know you're there too. But the reality is we don't know how long this is going to be, right? We don't know how long God has us in this particular valley. Or maybe there's something else that you're going through. Because this all is, it's not all about just this COVID thing, right? There's other things that God is doing in this time. There's other struggles that you're going through in this time. And how long is it going to be? We don't know. I can't tell you. But I can tell you that it's not the final resting point. Let's look just real quick, a couple references. In Mark 4, Jesus got in a boat. And he said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. So they all got in the boat. And then a storm comes. Meanwhile, Jesus is sleeping on below deck, right? He's sleeping. The storm's coming, and they wake him up. They're like, they're terrified for their lives. They wake him up. Don't you care? We're going to die. Don't you care? He calms the storm, and they end up landing someplace across the lake. Right? That's the end of chapter 4, and in chapter 5, they land on the other side. Jesus got in the boat. He said, let's go to the other side. Did they make it to the other side? Yes, they did. But there's more to the story. Where they landed on the other side was a cove that was very difficult to get to. So it took a very experienced sailor to navigate a boat into that little area. When they landed in that area, they ran into this man who was demon-possessed for his whole life. And Jesus performed a miracle on this man, cast out the demons, and they all ran into the pigs and jumped off the cliff. Right? They landed where this guy was. There was a cliff. That's how hard it was for this boat to get wherever they were. But the Lord directed them. He said, let's go to the other side. The storm came, and they landed on the other side, exactly where God wanted them to be. I'm telling you that the storm is not the destination. The storm is the process. Look at Paul when he went to Philippi. We're going to study this. Here's a shameless plug for the Bible study this week. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Paul, when he went to Philippi, that was not on his travel itinerary. He was not planning to go to Philippi, but he had a dream, and the woman, he saw a man from Macedonia, said, come talk to us. And he said, we need to go. And so he ended up in Philippi. When he was there, he ended up in jail. And in jail, he wrote one of the verses that many of us love to quote out of context, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's in the book of Philippians that was written while Paul was in jail. It wasn't on his itinerary. He wasn't planning to go there. Certainly wasn't planning to end up in jail. But God used that. God directed him through that. And we now have this book of Philippians that gives us great encouragement. And it's the process that God uses. So God will use something that you're going through to bless somebody else. Keep in mind, like, you're not the only sheep of the flock. Okay? I'm not the only sheep of the flock. We're all trying to follow the same shepherd, right? You keep your eye on the shepherd. I'll keep my eye on the shepherd. We'll help each other out. We'll make sure we get to the right place, right? Today, the Lord was working in me a message for today. Meanwhile, our worship team, God's working in them to pick songs for today. And look, we come together, and here we are, and we're like lockstep, right? That's what happens when the sheep follow the shepherd. We're not fighting for position. We're not saying my idea is better than your idea. We're saying, let's follow the Lord and do what he says, and we're trusting everything's going to work out. He's going to get us all through this valley. We're all going to get through it. It's one for all for one, right? We're all getting through this thing. If he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. I want to talk a little bit about, I guess we're coming to the end here, but tell a little bit more about Lee's surgery, from my perspective. I can't tell from her perspective. We'll let her tell that. But me, from my perspective. About 3 years ago, I was in the hospital myself, and I was on the verge of having to have surgery. They were talking about cutting open my chest and removing part of my something. I had a virus of unknown origin, they called it, a virus of unknown origin. That was the final diagnosis. And it had attached itself to my, I forget what it was so long ago. Something around my inside up here, right? And I had this crazy pain. And I was in the hospital for about 10 days. They did all these tests. And finally they said, look, we don't even know what this is, but we're gonna have to do a surgery. We don't even know if it's gonna help, but we're gonna have to cut you open, take out this piece, and then do some kind of reconstructive thing. We don't know what recovery is gonna look like. That was one night, and they left, and Lee and I sat, and we said, Lord, we don't want to do the surgery. If there's any way, we prayed like Jesus in the garden, if you can take this cup, we don't want to go here. And the next day, the doctors came in, and they're like, he had a whole team with him, and he was ready, he's going to re-explain everything, here's what we're going to do, and I said, whoa, hold on, doc, look, I could do this. And I couldn't do that before. I could do this, and I'm not feeling any pain. I couldn't open my arms like that without feeling pain. And I said, look, doc, I can do this. And he's like, wait a minute. Huh. And so he examined me, and he's like, well, I'm satisfied. We don't have to do the surgery now. I was like, thank you, God. Right? So that was my experience. 10 days in the hospital trying to figure things out. God came in 11th hour and saved us. So now here we are with Lee's thing. Lee has had scoliosis since a kid. And we've been praying her whole life. Her mom's been praying, and you know her mom's a woman of prayer. People who love her have been praying. We've been praying as a couple that, God, would you just heal her? Just say the word. You know, there's been times where we've questioned our own faith. Like, do we believe enough? Maybe it's not happening because we don't have enough faith. God's not healing her. Why? And we just, okay, we trust, okay, God, you know. And she is great with the pain. She can handle pain. Those of you who know her, you probably wouldn't even know that she was dealing with this thing for so long, because she learned to get used to it. And we were believing that God would say a word and it would be instantaneous, that it would be done and we would celebrate the miracle of God and that would be it, right? And now we're looking at the night before surgery. We're like, all right, God, and she's praying, God, if this cup can be removed, if there's any other way, and we're still holding on faith. And we're still holding on that God could come through at the 11th hour. But we were also believing that if he doesn't, if he didn't, then God has appointed, maybe like he appointed the fish for Jonah, and he appointed the surgeon to do a miracle in her back. And so we were believing that God would do something however he see fit. And he was reminding me, even through this dark valley, if we have to go under that knife, and it was going to be a long surgery, 8 hours, ended up being 13 hours, and it was a long 13-hour journey through that valley. And a lot of us look, and I heard a couple weeks before the surgery, somewhere, this isn't original to me, but I'm going to share it because it blessed me. A lot of us, we want microwave miracles when God specializes in crockpot blessings. Right? We want instantaneous. We want God to just do it, say it, and it's done. And that's what we were praying for and believing for. And sometimes he does that. Sometimes he does. But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes it's more of a process. More of, you know, we used to have a sign up here. Our theme was miracle in progress. We're a miracle in progress. God's changing you every day, right? That's a miracle in progress. And God's, the road that he chose for us in Lee's surgery wasn't instantaneous. It wasn't just boom, okay, it's done. And we would have glorified God for that. We maybe would have toured the country saying, look what God did. I don't know. But that's not what he did. He chose to have us go through this procedure. And then it was a little rougher recovery than I anticipated it being. But you know what? Every day we saw progress. Every day we got to see a miracle. It's been about a month now, and every day we're seeing God do something new, and she's getting to a place, and it's just amazing. When I look at her, you'll see when she comes back. She's a miracle, and it's nothing short of a miracle of what God did. But that's what he chose for us. And he taught me during this time to trust him a little more. Because it's hard. And a lot of you are going through some stuff, you're like, I just have so many questions, God, I don't know where to begin. Why? How is this even going to be good? Why is this even happening? You know, we have these questions. But I guess what I want to tell you today is that as long as you're looking, keep your eyes on the shepherd. Thank you for that verse this morning. Keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author. He wrote it. He decided it from the beginning of time. The path every day of your life is laid out before you were born. And he's the finisher. He's going to finish it. He finishes what he started. He's going to take you through if he brought you to it. Would you come? So I want you to be encouraged, church, as one sheep to another. That we have a great shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, Jesus talks about himself as the great shepherd. And he says this. He says, I tell you the truth. The person who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. And the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The one who guards the door opens it for him, and the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings all his sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they don't know his voice. We are sheep. Sheep don't complain. Sheep don't tell the shepherd what to do. Sheep trust the shepherd. The shepherd cares for the sheep. Sheep are inoffensive. They're soft and cuddly. They're cute, right? Everybody loves sheep. They're meek, they're mild, they're quiet, they're silent before the shearer, the person who cuts all their wool off, and they're silent before the butcher, the person who takes their life. But the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and the sheep follow the shepherd. How about you? Do you know the shepherd's voice? Are you meek and mild? Are you silent before the shearer and before the butcher? Some of you feel like you got beat up a lot or a little. Amen. But Jesus, in chapter 10 of John, he says, he is the gate and he is the shepherd. He is the shepherd and he cares for us. He lays down his life for us. And we can certainly trust him. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Lord, as we close, if anybody here wants prayer, we're going to open the altar that you can come up and we'll pray for you, or you can just lift your hand and we'll pray for you, and we'll have a time of that. If anyone online you're watching and you need prayer, let us know. Just put something in the chat. Reach out to us through email or message us on Facebook and just let us know. Let us know you're there. We want to support you. Amen. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your great love for us as sheep. We lay ourselves at your feet and submit to you as the great shepherd. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for being Lord Shammah, that the Lord is there, the Lord is right here. Lord, that through the midst of our toughest and darkest trials, that we can look to you and know that you are present with us, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And if we keep our eyes on you, God, that you would lead us through however long it takes, God, that you'd give us enough faith to trust and enough grace to make it. I thank you, God, for your presence. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for the sheep that are on this journey with me. God, that we would be able to encourage each other along the way. Lord, and for your glory and for your name. In Jesus' name, amen.